Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am.
Hi, Noah. Hi, listener. How's it going? It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast, Tuesday's episode. Oh, boy. Today, I have been up to a lot. This is honestly the best part of my morning. I was looking so forward to this. Like, let's just get to the podcast. I woke up, like, 15 minutes late. This is a weird thing I'm doing now in my life where I know I have to be up for something, and I'll just choose to ignore it. Like, my assistant sends me a text every night because I asked for this. Of what I have the next day. I think I should probably cancel those texts because I just thumbs up them and think I've seen them and committed them to memory. When my old way of working is I would just look at my calendar right before bed and go, what's tomorrow going to be like? Because I don't want to look at it too early in the day because then I just start having dread for being overworked. And I'd like to keep that dread to right before I'm laying my head upon my silk pillow that is disgusting. I got like my last assistant got me this light pink silk pillow because I was freaking out about my hair falling out last year. She was like, you need a silk pillowcase, which I've heard about forever. It's good for your skin. It's just slippery and it doesn't like, it's not cotton. It's not absorbing the oils of your skin. So I got this pink pillowcase, but it's so beat up now with spray tan and mascara. And I'm not someone who sleeps in their makeup. It's just I wear so much goddamn makeup sometimes. One wash ain't getting it all. And it's like the Velveteen Rabbit of pillowcases. Pillowcases are disgusting. But I don't like fresh ones because I'm like, oh, they're absorbing. They absorb more because I use cotton ones too. Anyway, so I forgot that I had a COVID test this morning at like 8 a.m. for Bill Maher. It's just so funny. I think it's because I don't respect them anymore. I'm like, this is dumb. You know what I mean? It's like when you like now I've become an anti-masker, you know, and which was the thing that I was like, someone was writing on Reddit the other day telling a story about how when they see people's noses, customers' noses, they're filled with such fury from dealing with those assholes last year that when a customer's like haphazardly wearing a mask now, which is like what I'm doing. But I get that, like, as a retail employee, this person was just telling an anecdote of like the rage that they feel as in the retail industry dealing with people anti-maskers last year. Shout out to everyone who worked retail last year in customer service. Truly, I see you. I hear you. I appreciate you so much. I know the fucking nightmares you put up with. They were Karens all day long, you know? Because apparently this year, no, I don't know if you know, there's been so much celebration of like, thank you, frontline workers, banging pots and pans. But we weren't doing that for people who were working at Starbucks or grocery stores or fucking Anthropology. People are so mad this year and cooped up that when they were able to go out and then they're anti-maskers on top of that, being told by an employee that they don't respect a young girl that works at Anthropology is telling a woman to put on a mask. And then that woman takes all her rage that she has pent up from her family being locked in with them out on employees. And employees got treated like shit this year. And the customer is always right is still this kind of motto that the retail industry follows. And it's BS. The customer is mostly wrong and entitled and deserves to be put in place. But corporations are so about whatever keeps customers happy, because it's not about the customer. It's about the customer's money. Like the customer is always right. It's just their money is right and they're wrong. And we're just going to keep pretending like they're like the placation that happens to dumb people that are feeling entitled to how their drink or their food is done and how you have to like act like respect those people. And you see like smart managers like dealing with rowdy customers and like having to treat them nicely. Like there should just be an overall rule. Like there should be insurance for those places that if you have enough incidents of customers acting like assholes, the insurance company will reimburse you for the money that you would have made on those people because you stand up to them. Asshole reassurance or asshole insurance. Does that make sense? So I don't respect this COVID test. I was late for it. I had to get on a Zoom with a doctor to have him witness me do it. He doesn't respect it either. I mean, he's making money off of it, but like, he's just like, yeah, stick it in your nose. And I'm like twisting it. Like he's like, you don't even need to go back there. Just fucking throw it in your nose. Just tap it on your nose and put it in the bag and have a good day. So I threw that thing in the mail and then I had a call about Conan. Conan is not retiring. Conan's leaving TBS. He's moving to HBO. No one knows what he's going to do there, but it might not be late night. So he's like leaving late night. So it's like this big send off. I feel like it's weird because I feel like we're treating it like a retirement and I'm being asked to give quotes and like there's a lot of celebrations and like the end of a run, which it's always good to be celebrated, but this isn't the end of anything for Conan. So it feels a little weird talking about like his run in late night. What did you learn from him? It's like, is he dead? But I did an interview with Vulture that's just celebrating him, which I'm glad to do. Definitely just when I talk about Conan, I get in this like, I can't be funny about him almost, which is ironic because he's like the reason I'm funny, but I get too sincere and I feel like I make everyone uncomfortable that has to be on the call, including my publicist who has to like quietly listen to me talk to these producers and these writers. When I have these press opportunities, your publicist sits quietly and listens to you do the interview. So you realize that she might just be like, oh, Nikki, no one cares about that. You don't need to tell people that you might start looking into the kink community. I'm just like, yeah, why am I telling this Bill Maher producer that? Listen, you know, because I want these. I'm not ashamed of who I am, I guess, is the overall point. But maybe I should be. My publicist should come up with like a little way of letting me know, like back off without saying back off. Like, well, I guess she could text me, but I guess we're not there yet. And maybe I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm on this call about the Conan thing this morning and just rattling on about how much he means to me. Cause he does mean a lot. God damn it. He's funny. And then I jump on. And then I went from that straight to another call. Cause I'm doing a show next week where I had to talk about, how much I love fast food, which guess what? I don't. I went into like a whole thing of like, listen, I look at fast food places now and I see them as drug dens where the masses get the cheapest and most affordable drug. And I'm sorry, that was redundant. The most affordable and legalist drug that isn't regulated in any way. You know, at least you can't drink. Drinking is legal, but there's certain sanctions around it to protect people from hurting themselves or others with it. But food, just have at it, man. Eating and driving should be not good either. Like any distracted driving. Remember when Dawson's dad died because he was reaching for a, I believe it was a soft serve cone. Maybe that seemed weird though, because you would just let it go. Or maybe actually a soft serve cone. If I dropped it into my dirty car on this passenger side, I would probably try to get it. And while doing so, drive off a cliff like Dawson's dad. Or if I got it, I would just like wipe it off. I like don't care about things falling on the floor. I've never been that type of germaphobe. The horror with which I have been met by people around me when I drop something on the floor and pop it in my mouth, and everyone, it's like, I just go, I don't care. You don't know if that, you just blindly trust the kitchens of places. Although the other day I did go into a restaurant and use their bathroom before I got the host's attention that we were outside. So I quickly ran to the bathroom and I saw how dirty it was. And I go, knowing what I know about working in a restaurant and like if the bathroom's clean, like it's what's going on in the front of the house, it's worse back there. I was like, I don't know that I want to eat here. Luckily, I literally went up to the host and he's like, I'm really backed up. It's just not, I'm not going to get to you for a while. And I was like, thank you for your honesty. I'm leaving. Your bathroom's disgusting. I didn't say that, but I probably won't be back there. I'm going to bring Andrew in. He's going to tell us about his golf day yesterday. Got to be honest, not really interested in how he played. I asked him about it when he got home yesterday, and he wanted to tell me about his, like, how he played. And I just wanted to hear about what the boys talked about. Like, what were the jokes? What were the funny things? I don't want to hear... You know, my swing was, I would just go, and Noah, I was trying so hard not to be an asshole and just go, Andrew, I don't care about your golf game. But I couldn't help. I let it go for a little bit longer than I would have normally. I would have snapped instantly and been like, just tell me what you guys talked about and like did and like who was there and like funny jokes. I don't care about your swing, but instead I held on to it a little bit too long and it probably came out even worse than what I just did. So we'll check in with him now and see how bad it was. It's a busy morning here at Shea Glazer, but this is the best part of my day, and I'm excited to get to the show. Let's get Andrew in here now.
Andrew!
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show, Andrew.
What's going on?
Saw you just bend down there. You feeling okay physically?
Yeah, I feel good.
I didn't know if that was like the proper. I've been watching a lot of Alexander techniques.
Who's on Alexander?
YouTube. It's a way of like moving your body that makes it so you put no strain on any muscles. And I think you just did an Alexander technique, like kind of. It looks like you're in pain because you're like bracing yourself the way you're moving, but I think it's proper bone alignment.
But Alexander's technique is
wild. I don't even want to get into it right now, but I'm getting back into it. I got into it for Colin Quinn recommended a teacher to me because he had voice issues. You know, Colin Quinn like talked like this, like he kind of sounds like that. Mm-hmm. He was losing his voice. He was doing a Broadway show 7 times a week, and he went to this voice teacher, and he was losing his voice all the time, like I do. Often, and he recommended this voice teacher, but it turns out it was just an Alexander technique teacher, which is this whole body alignment thing, and I'm into it. Spiritual almost.
I definitely am off alignment. Like I went to that chiropractor to got like a test run. Mm-hmm. He didn't crack me, but he like checked out my body and he's like, yeah, you're off a little bit, you know, a good amount. He wouldn't even crack my neck because he thinks I should get an x-ray first, so I don't know what that means. But my hips, very tight hips.
Yeah, it's there's a way of like sitting that is just puts no stress on your bones, and it just uses gravity to align your bones so that they're all just on top of each other naturally, almost like they're balancing. Instead of putting our body in ways that, you know, when you put your neck forward, you're holding up 20 plus pounds, where you could always just be balanced in a way that you're just, you know, when you're balancing a broom, it's easier than holding a broom, you know.
Oh, yeah. Somehow gravity gets more involved when it's like leaning.
When it's up. Like yeah. If you're balancing a broom on your hand, it really is not that much pressure, you know. But then suddenly you grip that broom and you tilt it to the front and it's like, oh, that's what your neck and head are a broom, essentially.
Yeah, I mean,
people, it's the same weight, but it's like if you position it differently, it's so much easier.
Yeah, because I was looking at my phone so much, you know, walking around, especially in New York as a dog walker. 8 hours of my day was just, you look down and you forget that. And then I literally developed, you develop a hump.
Yep.
Which is like tech muscle neck. Or yeah, it's like a
I also have the thing on my
finger. Beluga whale neck or whatever the fuck they call it.
Do you have the phone finger? The little dent in your pinky that everyone has? Look at your pinky, everyone. Now look at the hand where you hold your phone, your right hand, usually.
I don't have that right now.
And there is a dent because you'll hold your phone and it rests inside the dent. Look. Whenever I hold my phone, it's always this.
Oh, okay.
And so right there at the bottom where your phone lines up into your pinky, everyone that holds it that way has it. And
yeah,
it's
but you can.
Probably
going
to pass it on to her kin.
I thought, so my grandma Thelma, you know, she kind of had that disease where you know, you're looking at your vagina the whole time and you can't pick yeah. your head completely up. So I was kind of worried that, oh, I'm getting,
no
you know.
No one wants to old. Be that, by the way. When you look at those hunchbacked people walking yeah. around, no one goes, he's not different than you. Like an adult who probably looked at those people when he was an erect man.
He read a lot of newspapers.
Yeah.
That's
but
why
like
he,
no one
no,
wants,
I'm
like
just
that
kidding.
Just happens slowly, dude. It's
yeah,
scary.
No, I know. And but you can correct if you have a hump. Like there's a that
there's
I mean that
do.
Could be scoliosis and like different things, but the other thing you can correct it by doing stretches. And I have honestly I've noticed already.
Grandmother was completely a right angle. I called her right angle because she was bent over in a way that you could seriously hang thing like posters. Like I would use her to perfectly. I literally was like, oh, is right angle gonna be there? And the family like didn't embrace it as funny as I thought it was. Except my ex-boyfriend was like, he would be like, yeah, but she would go from a right angle like in pictures. She would walk over the picture, literal right angle, like. Talk
no
about.
Way.
I'm not kidding you. It was this low. Like, maybe this. Maybe we're going
table.
Like a... She was a little obtuse angle.
Would anyone put stuff on her back?
No. So
like
then,
dips?
But then for pictures, she would go and straighten up, and they would like undo
oh
it and like
God.
Hold her up. Like she was almost like she had a spring in, like you know, connecting from her thigh to her stomach that they would like extend and it would snap back. But she would, for pictures, be able to straighten up to about a. I think we got her almost to like a 160 one time.
I mean. Are there? I mean, you got
to
look at photos throughout the year. How quick did it go from?
I don't know. I would like to investigate it. I probably could because they have like so many pictures on their wall.
That's what I'm saying. I think we should look through all their photos and we could see all the different degrees.
Yeah, because it's slow. It's not overnight.
Oh man! I mean, overnight would be terrifying. Could you imagine getting out of bed and then you're just a table?
I mean, that happens to some people. They wake up and they're like, "Oh my god, they fucked up their back." Like one, they bend down and all of a sudden it's like, "Yikes!"
I mean, back pain is. Probably the number one. I mean, we talk about it a lot.
And if you want to tackle your back pain, read the book Healing Back Pain. I swear to God, it works. No matter what your back pain is, it seriously will alleviate your pain. Healing Back Pain, Dr. John Sarno. That's all I'm going to say.
And my lower back, you know, from golf yesterday and the last 2 days.
You've never read that book. And it's...
Oh, I never read it. No. Yeah, I don't have back pain that much.
But even if you have it a little bit, any pain, really.
I used to have back pain.
Remember your weird phantom foot pains? And that's not, I'm saying that in a way that's like, you easily could have gotten rid of that pain if you read that book.
I know. Right now I have pain in this part.
Here. Plantar fasciitis.
Is that what that's called?
Probably.
Plantars.
I'm obsessed with feet. I know I could literally go
What's
in.
What's this part right here?
That's I mean I don't know what it's called, but it's I know the tendons around it, and I know the yeah, that seems like maybe you just don't have enough padding on the ball of your foot
where the golf cleat is. They built these like new golf cleats that are pretty much shoes, but they're I don't know if they're as effective as what the old school was. Do you have arch? You have big arches.
Yeah, I was from St. Louis. You have to.
Would you find it? Would you date a guy with flat feet? That wouldn't hurt anything, right?
I would love to because I've been watching, oh my God, I watch flat feet massage videos because people with flat feet have the most painful foot massages. And I love seeing people in pain. It's really weird. It's like sexual. I watch.
You
look at
typed
this.
In
Dude,
flat, flat.
Look at this.
How do you stumble on that?
No, I don't. Because I watch bunion stuff, like bunion massage. Yeah. Stuff. Like when my feet hurt, I love watching foot massage videos. And then I am so into, I follow this guy. You guys got to follow him. He has millions of followers, I think, or maybe hundreds of thousands, but he's very popular and he does painful massages. Oh my God, he's so good. Hold on, he's one of my subs.
Well, remember we would get the foot massage and they would, when they would dig in and they knew you were hurt, they would look up at you and smile a little bit.
Oh my God, like these, listen to these people crying out.
And then this nice music. It sounded like a Disney movie.
It's called Next Stage Injury. So the ironic thing is it looks like he's giving them injury. But he just, when I had Dancing with the Stars tendonitis, this guy would dig into my foot in a way that would hurt so fucking much, but so good. And if you got through the pain, you just felt like so accomplished. Like it's all of my like sex fetishes too, of like you're pushed to your limit. And I just like, I love pain. I love it.
What about foot play? Like a guy sucking on the toes.
No, I want them to rub my feet like painfully while we fuck.
While you fuck?
Oh
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I would love it.
Oh, you've never done that? Why don't you gotta ask for it, I guess.
Because my ex-boyfriend didn't really like my feet. He was kind of like, he wasn't like sexually attracted to my feet, which is like a choice. But I think I need my ex-partner to like be into some foot shit.
You got pretty long legs, so it might be hard for this.
Yeah, what position would you be
missionary
in?
Missionary.
Okay, like on my back like this.
She's doing it right now, folks.
They're doing that with my foot, like while they're holding my feet, you know,
while they thrust back.
Yeah,
and forth.
Yeah, that could work.
That may be a lot for one person.
Or just fuck her at a foot spa.
Or
you know?
Just get a
three guys.
No, the thing is, that's when you bring in machinery because you
machine
like,
Kelly.
It is. Listen,
Machinery Gallery.
Yeah, listen. Whether or not he's there in my mind when this is all happening. He's always in whatever.
Machine Gun Kelly should be the name of a vibrator.
Oh my God, yes. And then, or a sex robot that I would definitely purchase.
Or just date her, Machine Gun Kelly, if you're listening.
No, don't say that.
I'm just throwing it out there.
No. That's not how these things happen. That's not manifestation to just have a co-host beg someone who is in a relationship. Again? God, you really fucked up my whole... I'm doing the secret on this guy, and you really just threw a wrench in things.
Hey, I'm yelling it from a low top.
I don't even know what that means.
It means a mountaintop would probably be, you know, the biggest podcast on Earth.
I was thinking of a shoe, like a high. I was going opposite. I knew you were doing a joke, so I go, I guess high top was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And I guess you yell things
a
from
a mountaintop
high,
would be the opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
A valley
would have been better. I went with low top. Chop chop.
Chop chop. How'd you sleep last night?
I don't know. I slept great because I was very, very tired. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, a lot of time in the sun. By the way, I shot a 95 for the people that were wondering out there. Didn't play great, but I hit enough good shots where it wasn't embarrassing.
You were saying yesterday that in the late 80s is good, then a 95 is great.
No. Lower is better. 72 is par.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
You made me feel good, though. Like, you almost made me like, wait, maybe I am wrong.
No. I was wrong, and you were right. It was worse. All right. Close.
This is something that I forgot. Did I tell you that we played Urlacher?
Yes.
So you introduced Urlacher.
Yeah, I was setting up Andrew for all his classic stories at the dinner with Joe Buck. I always set you up. Do you notice that?
Of course.
Okay, good. I just want
to. I try to set you up too. I think it's a setting.
I don't know that you set me up that much.
I think.
Not for the stuff I want to talk about. I'm like, I don't want to go into
that.
What
do you want to talk about?
Always sex.
Yeah, well. I said you gnaw on the bone.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
You go, oh, give me a bowl of bone marrow or whatever.
I go, yeah, just give me a bowl of marrow. Because, yeah, you know, whenever I dine with people who are...
Especially at a steakhouse, they're like, you want a big
steak?
Yeah,
they always go like, and Nikki will take the head of the pig. You know, they always make the most, like, obvious, like, no offense to Joe Buck, but he just said something. Because he was just, like, which is nice because he's acknowledging, like, I am out of my comfort zone. You said I'll just gnaw on the bone. I didn't think that was sexual. And I don't need you to set me up for sexual stories. I just bring them up when I feel there is an in.
What about when I said right before the appetizer, Nikki's so wet? You don't remember that?
No. I think I was in the bathroom when you told the table that. Hey, just so you guys know, like, before the apps come, Nikki gets really wet. That would be so fucking funny and weird.
It would be weird.
Let's get to the news.
The news, apparently.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
You want to do it again?
Oh, really?
Yeah, two
for guys, them. I'm so excited for the news today. Hope you're having a great time out there, and hope you, as always, are having all of the swells.
Oh, man. Thanks for setting me up there, Nick. Okay, of course, the internet hates a 23-year-old man named Karan and his 60-year-old girlfriend, Cheryl, after sharing a relationship on TikTok. Karan is 23. She's 60 years old. 37-year gap. People finding it disgusting. It's also a black guy and a white woman. So I don't know if that adds to it, the flame. But yeah, people are really making fun of Cheryl here.
Okay. Well, that's to be expected. She is a older woman, older white woman, long brown hair. She's dressing very youthfully. But she definitely has like a old woman's face, like from
Tales from the Crypt
horror
style.
Film.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that in the nicest way. This is an older woman without makeup. I also look like a horror show sometimes when I don't have makeup on and just have like this woman is just herself and she's an older woman. That's what you look like when you get old. Love it. But she's wearing like a youthful top and she's dating a fucking hunky young dude.
Yeah, good for her.
37 years her junior. This would not be a story if it was the other way around. However, I'm not someone who likes to play that card of like, if it were the other way, we wouldn't be talking about it, like, because they use that against us as well. Yeah. And the double standard thing, listen, this is just the way it goes. And he looks very content and happy. He knows what he's doing. He's an adult man. I love it.
Yeah, usually with this, you don't like destroy the man as much as like when it's a woman and an older man. It's usually like, oh, the guy must have so much money. Like, it's not that you. I guess they go after his looks too. I mean, that Anna Nicole Smith. Remember that guy she married?
Yes.
I mean, that guy.
That was wild. That was. I mean, that guy never. He looked like.
But he was a billionaire.
You know what he looked like? I was just thinking, who did he look like? That was such a similar looking person. The Prince Philip.
Ooh.
Same look.
Isn't it interesting? Money, eventually, no matter how much money you have.
Nothing's going to keep you from looking like that.
Yeah,
that's we're all headed that way. If you last long enough, you were just a person in a wheelchair like, like, it's just, you can't not be. It's
you
what
ever
it,
see when people like take photos of like the last like month or two of their grandparents' life?
Yeah, I see it all the time on Reddit, last images. It's crazy.
That's something you search?
No, it's just I just like it because it honors people who have died, but it's people sharing photos, the last photo taken of a person that lived. And I think it's just kind of, I don't think it's creepy. There's something like sweet about it. And then you read about like, and it's oftentimes really like a person looking literally their worst. And I'm like, can we maybe, I like it when it's like, this is a girl on her prom night and it's a 17-year-old girl with like such life. Like, I don't know that I like that, but that there's a morbidity to it that just soothes me in some way. But when it's just an old person looking like shit, I'm like, I mean, I have a joke about this of the best part of dying young is that people circulate young pictures of you when you die. But because they always show how you look. The most circulated pictures are the one of how you looked when you died, like the most recent. And it's usually
This is why we definitely need video, because this is unbelievable. Do you think
you make a picture?
Well, you had your joke in the special about a hot girl standing like in a little bathing suit next to their mom who's about to die, and then Kim Kardashian did that.
That's right.
You still haven't posted that.
You have to. I
just reminded you. So this is a reminder. I setting you up.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian literally posing a bikini next to an. And it was like, and I called it out on my special. I mean, it's not the most original joke of like hot girls trying to look hot next to sad things, but it was like I gave a very specific like a
dude,
grandma in a wheelchair,
yes.
And you're in a bikini. Like, let's get to the dialysis tent at Coachella. Like, I'm like, come on, grandma, dialysis tent,
grandma.
Coachella, like, grandma. And that's all based from Lady Gaga's documentary where she. 5'1" or whatever, where she was bragging about how tiny she is, and That I'm sure that's not why she named it that, but it is. I'm a little jealous of when someone's like, I'm little.
Do you
but
think
I do, but I love Gaga.
If you're standing next to like your really old grandma, do you think that you should dress sexier, or you think you have a responsibility to dress also like an
be
old
yourself?
Yeah.
So I don't mind girls being in a bikini, but it's hilarious to be in a bikini next to your grandma. Why is your grandma at a pool party? A situation where you're
I want my grandma in a little one piece and then me fully in a tuxedo. I want
love
grandma
sexy
naked.
Grandmas though. Yeah. Hannah Burner has a sexy grandma.
Dude, my grandma is she's still banging in the nursing home, and she's 100 years old.
I can't believe you have an
I told you she banged the guy. They both have dementia, so they both forget about it, but he's married still.
Oh my god, it's like the first time every time. That's like 50 first dates, but on both sides.
Is that 100?
No, it's like Eternal Sunshine, where they keep meeting like over and over. They can,
it's so
their
hot.
Eyes catch across the room, but not really because they have cataracts. But so they would.
They have one night stands every single time.
That's hot.
It really is. But
that's
do
hot.
You, but you can't build on it, or do you think every once in a while they're like, wait, I think I fucked this before?
Something about this feels wrong. yeah, they're. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know. I don't understand dementia, but I won't. And someday I'll probably have it because we all probably.
Yeah, I probably will have it. My grandma. My grandma.
Boy, that's not looking forward to that. I'll tell you that.
The last two guys she's banged to death. She's like a black widow. If you have sex with my grandma, you're going to die within 3 years. Now, granted, a lot of these guys but
why don't you try to do it?
No,
it's. It's drier. You just sound like a ghost coming.
It sounds like you guys are getting your feet massaged.
Oh yeah, that is true.
With flat feet.
Oh my god.
But my grandma, she'd bang these guys. My grandpa died. He had a white mustache that she made him grow because she liked a white mustache. And then 5 months after my grandpa died, this guy gets out of a Honda Accord or whatever, and he has a white mustache and aviators. He looks exactly.
She just found another.
She just replaces them like a assembly line.
Damn.
Would you want to fuck a guy, or would you want to date a guy that looked exactly like your ex?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Like my I have a type, you know, like if I somehow found,
you don't want the opposite, you want
I'm open to different, yeah, but yeah. Like it makes it for me as someone who's so scared to be with people. New people, if they resemble enough of someone I've been with already, it makes me feel a lot more relaxed.
It's kind of like when you buy a dog of the same breed again.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is just Smitty.
I don't think I want them to be, but I think I'm just attracted to the same quality. So if I'm the person I marry, I probably am attracted to things about him physically that I'll be attracted to again.
What are your top three physical things you look for in a man?
God.
That's hard,
I guess,
right?
I mean, I don't. A good smile.
Okay.
A good, like, smiles a lot. Good smile. And then, like, eyes, lips.
Just having eyes? What color eyes do you prefer?
Eyes, I don't care about color. Just, like, not, like, too, like, intense. Like, they don't stare too much.
Oh, no. The old bug eyes?
Like, not, like, they just don't want, like, intense eyes. They, like, kind of creep me out. But I could be attracted to literally anything. I guess I like,
it's hard to, like, soften up a hard eye.
The thing is, if I have, like, if I feel the fucking heat from someone and like, they just have a confidence to themselves, or like, just there's something about them that I'm like, you don't seem to be impressed by me and I'm going to win you over. And that's what I look for, is a person that doesn't seem to need me or care much for me, but I know that I can get,
but they do it with a smile.
Yeah, but they're fun. They're fun and charming. Like, I like a little bit of a challenge, but it's usually someone. The ones I like are the ones that I feel a vibe with, and I know that they feel it, and they're just gonna try to fight it. And I'm like, no, I'm going. I'm gonna get you, and you know you like it, and we're gonna do this.
I sometimes feel like you'll say to me, like, I don't know if he's into me. I'm like, that guy's definitely into you. And part of it is, do you tell yourself that so then you're trying to win him over, so it's like hotter for you, even if you think.
No, I really
notice,
don't.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense, though?
No, but I'll tell you, I've asked people who I've done this with, like, when did you know, when did you, like, they always are like, I was attracted to you the first time I saw a clip of you on the thing, I wanted to have sex with you. But it's never, like, they never think it's going to happen. They're never like actively pursuing it because they think it's just an impossibility until I make it happen. They're always like, oh no, I would have never made a move. I would have never done anything.
Yeah.
But that's where I go like, why not? Why do I always have to be the one to do it? Why am I not obvious enough? How can I not be being obvious? I think it's like seeping out of my pores that I like this person. And then I finally tell them I like them because I get so fed up. And then I go, when did you like start liking me? And they're like, never, because I didn't think I had, you know, that they'd
your
never
first
see
roast.
It.
Yeah. You're like Mannequin. Remember that movie Mannequin, when the mannequin comes to life? That's like they see you on TV, or if they see you on, you know, whatever, on the internet, like, and then you come to life. It's like, whoa, like, what is, like I remember the first time I met you, like literally the first time I met you, if you see someone enough on TV or whatever, there's like an aura around you,
you
where
just think of
you
them
put it on them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it takes a very long time to, like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, no, I've felt it before with people, but I don't think it's that. I mean, these are people that I meet, not, they don't know me from TV or whatever. Like, they've maybe seen a picture of me on something, you know, but and they were, that's what I'm say when they're, I'm like, when did you first want to fuck me? Like, I always love to hear about that. I like to hear about like the crush, how it developed. And they're like, I don't know, when I Googled you or what. I'm like, ugh, okay, that's not romantic. Next story.
All right. This next story is, there are 5 red flags that tell you when you're in a toxic relationship. Do you want to guess them, or you want me to guess them?
Lying.
All right. Constantly seeking approval and or acceptance from the partner and mistaking it for love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number.
Yeah, that's just like, oh. Yeah, just. Well, that, I think it's all. If you are not being yourself, or you are like worrying about how your partner might react to something and trying to control their reaction, there we go. That's the sign of a bad relationship. And I bet it will be in all of these, that kind of thing.
Affection is given or withheld as reward or punishment.
I have goosebumps, and I can't. I'm so like triggered by that. The withholding of affection.
Can you imagine being someone that like wants, about to hug you, right? Or about to kiss you, and they go, they'll be, oh no, that'll be too nice for them. Like they stop themselves. That's wild to me.
It's happened to me.
It's not good, as
someone who did it, it's not even that. It's just like ignoring, or like just not being loving, and like, you know, just like,
yeah, it's purpose. Like you can't help but like, you are disgusted by them. Like you can't be nice to them. It's impossible. Like my ex-boyfriend, he would shut down physically if he was upset with me, and he could not help it. And he would tell me, he was like, I can't help it. And I didn't want him to like hug me just like insincerely, so that wouldn't have been good. So I would just have to wait until this, like, you know, this anger had lifted and that he wanted to touch me again. And it just sucks.
When you were angry at him, would you still want to have sex?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to make up. I'd want to get to the root of it so we could get over it and get to making up and understanding each other. But he did not want to talk about things right away. He needed to like process them, and he wasn't. And if we did talk about things right away, I would just be like, good, we're good again.
Yeah.
And he would just really need a lot of cooling off time still after. And I'd be like, I'm still being punished after I apologize, but people just heal at different speeds. And I need someone who's like, all right, let's address this. Let's turn it around, back to normal. I know it's a little awkward, but like, let's just.
There's also something too, probably like, oh, you know, I said I'm sorry. I also had sex with you, and you're still mad. Like, it adds another.
Oh my God. I mean, that is. I mean, I have tried to win over guys with sex and get out of fights. Like when a guy is being upset with me and eventually they can't, their horniness gives in, and then they fuck you, and then they're still mad at you, but now they don't want to fuck you. Then they're drained of their semen.
Yeah.
And you have this false sense of their forgiveness because they've got horny for you and touched you and fucked you. And maybe the sex was a little bit more, I don't know, if they were a little bit angrier during the sex than usual, but listen, that's fine.
Why do you have a gun? Yeah. No, I think when I'm angry, I get very, very unhorny. Like I'm not
talking
horny
days,
at
though,
all.
Dude, if you're in a relationship where you're living with someone,
which
you've never lived with someone that you are fucking, for days where you're sleeping in the same bed,
and they're,
you
just
eventually get
over.
Horny enough.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You will want to fuck the person that you haven't had the talk with about whatever is making each other mad. Think about it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, do you ever like turn your back on someone with that move? where you know.
No, if someone ever wanted to fuck me, I was always down. And I'm not saying like I'm a perfect girl, but like I am a little bit of a sex addict in a relationship, and so I was always down, or at least would if I wasn't, I'd be like, I'm really tired and you're just gonna have to like literally just like hum me like a log. Like I can't contribute, but I don't mind you being inside me, but I'm literally gonna lay here. But I'm always down to be penetrated. And
that should be the name of your special.
Always down to be penetrated. No, then I'll have to stop doing meet and greets. But your book.
You'll get some meat. All right. Okay. Yeah. Why are both people in the relationship keep score of who did what and whom? For whom. And emotional manipulation frequently occurs to even the score.
Yeah, I did this. You should do that. That makes sense. All right. Well, what are the other ones?
The relationship feels like emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if any of these, one of these off the list, try to fix it, because obviously there's something worth being in the relationship about, but you got to remedy it or it's going to kill your relationship. I mean, you can't have this shit.
And you feel isolated from loved ones or friends.
Yeah. What you do is you go, this is an issue. This is a sign of a toxic relationship. You do this thing to me. We're not good at handling it this way. If we don't both act, I'm ready to actively work on it not happening anymore, because I don't want to be in a relationship where this happens. It's a toxic relationship, sign of a toxic relationship. So we have to address it if we're going to stay together. And I want to stay together. And if that person does not take the steps with you to conquer that issue, bye. And you can leave feeling good because you gave him a goddamn ultimatum of, I want to work on this. We need to work on this. I respect myself enough to not be in a relationship that has this thing going on. And then the person, if they want to keep you, will do the minimal effort, which is all you ask, of working towards making it better. Noah.
I got a quick question. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wait. I raised my hand, so I would like to ask my question, please.
Of course. I'm sorry.
What do you think about personal accountability, though? Do you think that each person has to contribute something in working on themselves before they can approach the relationship? Or is it just honing in on the relationship has to be on the relationship? Is there any type of personal accountability?
I don't know, but I really don't understand your question, but let me just say this, that I do think that you can enter into a relationship with someone who has never worked on themselves, or if you're finding yourself in a relationship with someone who doesn't do anything to work on themselves, they don't meditate, they don't read books, they're not interested in something that is actually going to better them and make them a better person. That's okay that you're in a relationship with that kind of person, but you need to make it clear that you will not continue to be, because you are someone that works on yourself. So you need a person actually, you don't need to do the same amount of effort, but we need to be on a trajectory of growth.
Yeah.
And you playing video games all day is not leading you anywhere.
And I think to your point, like, I think you could work on yourself while being in a relationship. I think a lot of times there are people like, no, I'm taking time to myself. No, you could take time to yourself.
Yeah. You can
while also being with someone.
Absolutely. Did that answer it? No, I'm sorry. That wasn't clear.
I think accountability, not
about the relationship. Yeah, you should work on yourself, because guess what? Your partner might die and you need to be your own person. Relationships, the other person does not complete you. They could go away tomorrow. They could die tomorrow. And then who are you? Are you going to die tomorrow, the next day? If that's the case, it's kind of sad. The best relationship is, my old abusive therapist used to say, the best relationship is one that you could live with or without. And I love that, because you can live without it means you are a whole person.
Yeah.
And it's not
a lot of times too. It's like, if it's like a financial thing too, like the article, whatever, I read the article that you need to set money aside. You need to set yourself up for if you want to leave. You know what I mean? A lot of people stay within relationships because of financial reasons, not just because of emotional reasons. So emotionally and financially, you just need to, if you are going
to
leave,
have a plan of action to get out.
It's like leaving a job before you have another job. It's like you don't need another guy out there, but you just need to be able to be sustainable.
I don't think it's a problem to put the flirt feelers out there if you're with someone that you want to leave, and just to give yourself a little validation that, yeah, okay, I can find someone else.
Yeah.
I've needed that before, because sometimes in an abusive relationship, you think you're shit and no one else will ever love you, because that's part of the abuse, is convincing you of that. Even if they don't say it, things they do convince you that you're hard to deal with and I'm the only one who will ever love you. So you need to maybe go out and get validation that, yeah, I can get
someone else. Or that they're right.
Yeah.
You just find out. You're like, yeah, I put my feelers out there and I'm going
to
stay here.
You're better off alone than someone who wants to make you feel that way. I believe that.
What do you think? I do have, like, so the last one was you feel isolated from loved ones or friends as if nobody understands the relationship the way you do. Like, you know, when like outside people are like,
yeah, we all said, you don't know him like I do. When we're alone, it's like this. Yeah.
So how, one, as a friend, how would you approach a friend that was in a toxic relationship in a way where, like, because it's so scary because you could lose that friendship like that.
I don't like the way he treats you, so I am not going to be around you both together anymore. So if you want to hang out with me, it's not going to be with him. And push,
but
push
that
friend.
So much pressure on
It doesn't. It just it says I'm not going to be mad at you if you're with him, but I don't enjoy seeing my friend being treated the way she is in this relationship, and I don't like seeing how you, the way you are with him. It's not fun for me, so I'm going to remove myself. And what that will do is give you good boundaries with your friend and make you be able to say something honest. And it will allow your friend to see that there are consequences to staying with someone who's going to abuse them. They're going to lose people who actually care about them. And it might give them a great example of like, wow, this friend who loves me so much is saying like, it's so bad she can't hang out with us. All right, maybe I'll look into this and see it a little bit clearer.
I would just be scared that that would push them to the person more because now they don't even have me to lean on.
That might happen, but that's also the same thing of intervention. When people are so scared to tell drug addicts or any kind of addicts, like, I'm not going to be in your life anymore if you don't stop this drug. And they go, well, that's going to make them start going to, like, being a prostitute to get money because I'm not going to give them money anymore. And it's like, push them to the bottom. If it's, you know, you have, they're going to die through your money.
Because if you're kind of there for them, they're just never going
to. They're always going to. Enabling, and it's really hard to pull away. But that's, if you are hanging out with your girlfriend who's in an abusive relationship with the guy and you're putting up with it and allowing it to happen by being there and hanging out with them, you're aiding and abetting.
Yeah. Also, if a friend sees something that you don't, you can be so close to something where you don't see it. It's with anything.
And everyone knows the friend who's going to choose the boy over the girl. Like, you know that friend. But guess what? You chose yourself over watching your friend get abused. And that's like, it's all about self-respect in the end.
All right. Why do I care?
And leading by example. You'd want your friend to do the same to you.
Why do I care?
Oh my God, I nailed it.
Post Malone drops $1.6 million on a full ceramic dental restoration, including two diamond fangs weighing 12 carats. I mean, I like Post Malone a lot. Like, yeah. I watch interviews of him. He seems to have a really good heart.
He was really fucked up when he decided to do this, I'm guessing. And he was just like, fuck it. And the money was probably just...
I don't know about that because it took them like 3 months to design this thing.
I'm saying when he put it into action and then he continued being fucked up, I think. And every time he worked on it, he probably had to fucking like get lit up because like before those Zoom calls, he's like, let's just throw back a couple because the idea of I'm spending $1.6 million on a fucking mouth implant. These are just disgusting uses of wealth, but I do it on a much smaller scale with dumb stuff spending.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, do whatever you want to do. I just like the fangs they're not going to fit someone else. I guess you could melt it down and sell it. Like he could probably sell it for $500,000 if he wanted to get rid of it.
I mean, it's like art. It's actually wearable art. So, I mean, it's just dumb as spending any amount of money on something that doesn't like help the world. Invisalign. I've spent $6,000 on Invisalign.
It's like
probably
when
more at this point.
A billionaire spends money to go to space. It's like, why don't we work on this little Earth here? But you think Earth is going to end, so might as well make Mars better. But still,
it's on its way out. I mean, every single day is so fucking.
If the
hot.
Richest, smartest people are like,
I cannot believe that I'm hearing like kickoff to summer. I'm like, wait, what? I keep thinking it's like August. I swear to God, I can't believe summer just began. And it was because we were in the Cayman Islands for most of the dirty, dirty spring. But
dirty spring or winter?
It was like winter spring.
Okay.
The early spring, like it was where it was like still cold and shit. Like we missed the winter spring, but we were there for a significant part of winter. But But I can't believe it's
95 degrees the other day.
No,
like we couldn't be outside.
It's disgusting outside, and things are about to get scary. Let's do a Reddit dump.
All right. So do you care about Post Malone's mouth?
No, I don't. Not at all. It's just, you know.
Finally, we found one.
I know you like him. I know. Yeah, I really don't care. I can't even pretend to be interested.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to my saved files. I didn't know it was. I didn't even know that.
No,
was
it funny. Really wasn't a thing behind you.
Okay, so I was on Reddit last night, and I saved this one. It's in the Reddit where they talk about the show Veep.
Okay.
And so it's subreddit r/Veep. And this was posted. It's, she goes, I hate that I'm attracted to Dan. He is such a shit, really a garbage human being, but I find him so attractive. And yes, the actor himself is attractive, but it's his character too. So big yikes on my part. I could have written that. I am so horny for the Dan character. Like, talk about who, what I'm attracted to. That.
Smile, and if you know that brown show, hair.
He is a garb. He's horrible, but he's so charming. And you just, I used to.
I love how you can say that in the same sentence.
What?
My buddy has, you know, whatever. You hear it often, like
Reed Scott plays him, and Reed Scott's like a good person, and it's right. Like, I looked into the interviews with the actor to be like, can I get off to this? Not gonna do it for me. I need him to be an character. Asshole.
But it's funny, like, you can, in that sentence, you go, he's so charming. He's so essentially, he's a horrible person, but so charming, because a good-looking guy can be an asshole and could be charming somehow. But if he was ugly, he wouldn't be charming.
It's totally true. Someone else said, yeah, I had to do some serious introspection during my first watch. I was like, why am I so attracted to this toxic shit? But I just can't help it.
What is it?
I mean, honestly, it was embarrassing. I was into fan fiction, like erotic fan fiction about him and Amy, because when there's a scene where he is so adorable with Amy is like wanting to, like, she's probably possibly like pregnant with his child, and she thinks they're gonna like hook
up. And he starts dating her doctor.
Yeah, I mean, he's her abortion doctor. I mean, it's crazy what a horrible person this guy is. But then, oh my God, but there's just the scene where they interact and there's sexual tension, and it's like, I've watched it so many times. I don't, and then, like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio in that The Departed, he's just like a little, like, piece of shit. Like, not as much as, like, a guy being showing vulnerability when he's like a, I don't know what it is.
But you
about
can't
it.
Be vulnerable all the time. You can't be vulnerable every day. That's not hot.
The thing is, you know what I like about it? Here's what I'm going to say. I like a guy that is so obsessed with his career, like very driven and like knows what he wants. But I know that my sexuality could derail them. And like, I could, the challenge of that guy wanting to fuck me so bad that he like is not as powerful any, or like is kind of thrown off is so hot. And I do feel like I could seduce that Dan character.
Well, I feel like it would be the same way with someone that was attracted to you, because you're so obsessed with your career that if they can get that, give
yeah,
you the cock.
Maybe it's narcissistic.
What do you, oh, that you're looking
like
for?
I'm looking for the myself.
Yeah.
Essentially, as someone who like is a challenge and is, it doesn't get thrown off very easily.
With a good smile and a nice aura.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. I don't know. It's just so hot. I just felt so seen in that. Okay, next one. Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, I think you were envisioning Dan over there.
Oh, God, I was. Okay, so this one is really good. This girl makes mimicking animal sounds. This was hot on Reddit for a while. This is a next fucking level. The subreddit, next fucking level. It's one of my faves. This is a girl making.
Wolf. Peacock. Horse.
The good thing about this is the video, because
she's
the girl
good.
Is so cute and she laughs between each one and she just like pulls them out of nowhere. You got to kind of see the video. Do you do any animal?
Yeah,
you do,
I was going to say.
I'm scared of your dog because it's so loud. Everyone brace their ears. It's so
loud.
Okay,
well, do you want a big dog or a little dog?
Big dog is so loud.
I'll
I'm serious.
I'll just put the mic away.
Put the mic far.
Yeah,
really
don't
far.
Do it directly into it.
It's even too loud in the room, Andrew. It's too loud.
So that's my dog.
We're going to get ridden.
I mean, that's a good dog.
It's a really good dog. And that's why I wanted you to do it.
What can you do? I could do a few different. I could do animals better than humans.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what's another one?
A chicken.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Can you do any, Noah?
I can do a cat purr.
Okay. Ooh.
Whoa.
Dude, that's ASMR.
That's
dude,
cool. can't do that. I can't do any, like...
You could maybe do it with your vagina.
just a queef that's, like, had a long day.
Put its suitcase down. Wait. Yeah. What for dinner? Wait, what can you do? You gotta do. You've never done a horse?
I mean, I think I'm good at people impersonations, but I'm not good at animal. I don't know of any animal. Maybe my parakeet kiwi. We used to be like,
that's good. What about a cat? Like a meow. Oh, yeah, it's great.
I don't know. Bird. Wait, what other animals are there? I feel like I just don't care about animal sounds that often. Okay, this is in the subreddit. Oh, there's a dying dog in the corner. This is off true off my chest. This is where people just like get something off their chest.
Whoa.
She said, I finally told my husband he stinks. I finally told my husband the reason I don't like going down on him is because he stinks. He was so mad and threw it back in my face that sometimes I stink. I reminded him I'm not shoving my genitals in his face when I stink. I don't like doing anything sexual until I've had a chance to shower. He slept downstairs on the couch last night and I feel liberated. I guess my next step is to tell him his breath is atrocious and he needs to do something about it. We'll see how that goes. I fucking love this
lady. Oh my God.
She's done. This dude is she's like disgusted with him to the point where she's like, fuck you. Like, I love the point where, and this guy sucks to like do the thing of, you stink too. This guy, leave him. Ugh, awful.
He could have handled it. Depends how she went at him the first time.
I agree.
But if she was like, hey, do you mind just, you know, maybe washing your ass a little bit before I blow you? Yeah, wash your ass. Don't fucking throw it back at her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable to tell someone they stink, but you got to do it. Okay, here's one that I loved. This is in meditation. This is another one of those tricks that instantly calms you down. It's a simple trick to calm down the overthinking mind in seconds. This works well before meditation or when your thoughts get overwhelming in the day-to-day life. So all you need to do is this. Close your eyes. Okay, let's do it. Close your eyes. Focus on your eyeballs and don't let your eyes move as you focus on your eyeballs. Close your eyes, focus on your eyeballs, and don't let your eyes move as you focus on the eyeballs. Do you feel it?
I can feel them moving a lot.
Wait, let me just do it right now because I was reading it, so I wasn't doing it.
I feel them like vibrate. I could see your eyeballs moving under your eyelids.
But I'm trying not to move it. It's not about not moving them, but it's like trying not to. And it makes you, someone said it probably activates your like sympathetic nerve system or something. Like it really is awesome. Let's move into final thought. This is in the subreddit dating_advice. Why?r.they.all.into hiking.
There's no period in between.
No, into hiking. I don't like hiking. I don't like camping or climbing or sleeping in tents. My ex was into it, and him constantly dragging me on trips I didn't actually want to go on really negatively affected this relationship, and he made no real effort to get invested in what I liked. I finally feel more ready to try serious dating again, but I feel like so many times I see a guy on an app, then I swipe around his pictures, and lo and behold, another hiker. I feel the same towards being really into sports or hardcore parties, but not to the same degree. I am a cozy indoor bitch, okay? I like cuddling indoors, watching movies, and slow-paced city-based trips. I don't want to sweatily look at trees, like strolling around the city and absorbing cultural and historical sites. I like restaurants and bars where I can dress up. I would happily play board games with a drink and a delicious food, listen to music, blah, blah, blah. She goes on. I relate to not all of it, but, you know, I do not want to hike. I'm once a year, I'll go on a hike with you, but it's not.
I just feel like there's a difference.
Everyone fucking hikes.
There's a difference between a hike where it's like 10 minutes outside the city and you're just like, you go up a hill. And then there's a hike where a guy brings a tent and he's wearing Timberlands and he's like, hey, we're going to live off the land.
No. Let me say this. I don't want to do the 10 minute one.
I know
one
you don't
either.
Even want to do the 10 minute that, one. I get that.
Neither
but I'm
does
just
this
saying,
girl.
Yeah.
We don't want to do any of it.
So a lot of what she wrote was noise. Like the signal in what she wrote is that the guy didn't want to do what she liked
yes.
to do. I think that was the root of the problem.
Mm.
And I think, like, I used to hate being outdoors, bugs, all that stuff. Went camping. Now I really enjoy it. I think there is the possibility to enjoy it if it's with the right person.
Okay. I will
I see what you're saying. So I enjoyed watching a, you know, a chick flick, cuddling on the couch and or whatever, like whatever she having a drink, playing Monopoly, then maybe she'll like hiking more because I went out of my way to like what she likes.
That's what you do in a relationship.
Yeah. It's
you
compromise. Like yes, you're right. That could have been the problem.
So what would a guy have to do for you where you could enjoy a hike?
I would not much. Fuck me regularly. Try kinky stuff that they're probably not into. Rub my foot while you fuck me, even though you're not into feet. Like, I will. I'll want to hike.
You'll start rock climbing.
Fuck me outside on the hike. Like, let's do some freaky. Like, make it sexual.
Yes,
make the hike sexual. Do that. And I'll do anything. I'll do anything if like there's a like something horny at the end of it, or like we'll do something a little bit like risque. Yeah, I'll go on road trips. If like the road trip my ex-boyfriend and I went on, he like fingered me for a long part of it. Like
while
I would
driving?
Just, yeah, like or I would like he had a plug set up for the wand so I could just like come a bunch next to him, and I'm all strapped in with the seatbelt, and I'm just like on the dash just like this. It was so fun. And he's just like doing this, just like holding it.
So there we go.
Yeah, like we saw Mount Rushmore that day. I was a little, and we went to a museum. I literally like I will do these things if there's a promise.
I didn't know you could hook it up to a car thing. That's pretty cool. I guess so. Yeah.
Of course. Like he just would engineer things that were interesting. That facilitated some fun stuff. I mean, that's definitely. That's a way to get me hiking. I never even thought about that before. But that's not to say that I want to go on a first date and have the guy like rape me in the woods. Like, how about we don't do that and don't even try to kiss me. If I go on a hike with you on a first date, first of all, I'm not being honest with myself because I don't want to do that. But please don't try anything sexual with me. I'm so scared of dates that anyone, because you hear this and you're like, wow, she's a kinky bitch. I'm going to like put some moves on this girl. I will seriously run away in fear if you try to do anything like too sexual with me.
Most of these hikes where you go on a date, there's way too many people to do anything sexually, really, unless you sneak off, and I don't want to sneak off and get a tick.
Okay, I don't know.
Or get attacked by a coyote.
I'm not saying we have to blow each other right off the hike that children are walking by. I'm saying you sit on a bench to look at the sights and you put a finger down my, if you stick a hand down my pants and no one can see, like just weird stuff. Like I got fingered on, Magic Mountain at Disney World on a log flume.
Wow. Very fear.
No. I think I like gave a hand job on a log flume, at Six Flags. No, like just weird, just stuff that you just, fear. Oh my God. Sexiest scene ever. So like I like that stuff. I like taking chances.
Have you given Roadhead?
Yes. What? A million times. I have a bit about it that you clearly haven't seen because I talk about a fun game to play when you give Roadhead.
What do you say?
You try to guess where he's driving. Like if you know the area, try to be
guess
like
what street
you
it's guess on. Where,
when he finishes, you like you before you go up, you try to guess where you are. It gives you something to do when you're down there. You're like, okay, he's making a right turn. Okay, like you try to guess the distance, like based on the speed the car's
this.
Going. It's like a blind, like it's fun.
I love that. That's so funny. When you do it, are you pretty right on? I mean, I guess so, right? Like,
no, I think
it depends how close you are to home.
When you close your eyes and someone traces up your arm.
I swear to God, I was
going
to say that as an example.
Yeah, traces up your forearm, and then you try to guess when it's at the point of your the hinge of your arm. Yeah.
Dude, that was the best. Or writing words on someone's back. God, I love that.
So good. Just
it's a pretty easy game if you do not.
I think
cursive.
We all just wanted to be touched as children, like in like gentle ways, and so we would just have our friends like, "Will you just like rub your finger up my forearm?" And then we made games just so we could like kind of touch
that's
each
so
other.
That's so true. Crack an egg on my head. Let the yolk drip down.
Yeah,
let the yolk drip down.
It's like
stab a knife in my back.
Let the blood run down. What let the blood run down. Let the blood. I mean,
put a cock in my ass.
Yeah,
get away from me, counselor.
Yeah, that third part of that bit was a little extreme. All right, we have to go because I have to go put on makeup and do another thing.
Why?
Before
what are
you I
doing
hop on
now?
I have to do it's a confusing thing, but I have to put on makeup and get interviewed for a half hour, and then I have to go, and then I have to pack, and I have to go to LA, and I have two shows tonight.
I'll see you in a week.
I know. I'm going to be doing the show remotely from LA all this week because I'm doing Bill Maher on Friday. Save the date. Make sure you watch Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday. I'm going to be in the first part of the show. It's so exciting. I'm going to be talking about... I'm not scared to do it anymore. The producer heard me say how scared I was on last week's episode. And she was like... I talked to her yesterday and she was like, let you know that you are in good hands. I'm like, I know. I literally would just, I was listening to the show yesterday.
It's
because
your dad might love it so much, so it makes you
no,
a little bit more.
I invited my dad. My dad's going. My parents are going to LA. I'm not into the no. That's not it at all. It's just like, I think he's, I just don't know. I just know I'm stupid about anything. Like, I don't want, if.
As long as you're honest about that. Then.
Yeah, that's what I just am. Just yeah. I'm not. I haven't gotten to this point by lying to anyone about my political acumen. So if they want me to do something that I'm not comfortable with, like, I can just be honest. But they won't. They know what I'm there for. And they're not dumb to ask me. I deserve to be on the show and I'm going to have fun with it and be a good guest.
The beautiful thing is millions of other people don't give a fuck about politics. We just hear about the ones
I know,
that do.
But I'm just saying, like, people that watch that show think, they always go, I could do it.
Yes.
They think they could, even though they could never. I'm going to go. I love you for listening. Thank you, guys. See you tomorrow on the show. And Jackpot.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.